Hey, and welcome to the San Carlos Computer Club podcast. I am your host, Scott Stimson, from International Computer Solutions. If you're looking for computer solutions on the internet, I'd appreciate it if you'd contact me, Scott, at internationalcs.net. And this is the San Carlos Computer Club meeting from July 11th, 2020. If you like this, check out our blog at sccclub.org. Sit back, relax, and enjoy today's meeting of the San Carlos Computer Club. Tech on. Hey, just an FYI, I just hit the stream button a little early because I don't want to forget about it, so we can just keep talking. Even though it's about 5 minutes early, this is going out to YouTube now, so if anybody was waiting on the page, it would just all of a sudden be looking at our smiling faces. And we are about 5 minutes away from really starting here. Hope Jim joins us.
Ooh, good.
I'm looking at my list and I'm seeing that I've got some old topics on here. How does that list look? Are you guys able to read that?
Nope.
Just a minute, I'll try and pin it and see if it...
Is it fuzzy? I mean, is it unreadable? That's the real question.
It's unreadable.
It's pretty small font and faint.
Let me go to... If I do it like this, is it readable? I'm just trying to get a feel for if I have to go into presentation mode to show you something on the screen.
Can you see how close I have to look at it?
Yeah, but that might be a you problem.
Hey, <it's
too> So you're comparing these two views to if I switch into present mode. Let me do that real quick, and we'll see if... Darn it, I can't get to the button because my window isn't big enough. Come on. Where's the button? Wow, that's a problem I didn't expect. I can't even full screen it. This is nuts. Can I just hit enter? Yes, I can just hit enter. I'll remember that.
Okay, but you're presenting, but I don't see that screen anymore.
It might take a moment. Here comes Chester. Hello, Chester. Good morning. Is anything appearing?
There.
Oh. It's no better.
Not really.
It's no better?
No.
Well, that sucks, because that's what was working the best last time. If it's no better, then I don't have to go into presentation mode.
Yeah, no.
I don't know. Mine got better.
Oh, yeah?
I got a three-quarter screen with it on it, and I can read it.
Whereas when I was just sharing the... let me turn it off again. How does that look, Fred?
Nope, it's too small.
It's whatever, small whatever and fuzzy?
Did. Yeah.
Good morning, Chester. I'm going to switch this back over to presentation mode.
There, that's better.
Okay, so that's that's what we just have to do, is if there's something where you guys need to see a web address or the writing on something, then I'll have to switch into presentation mode. So somebody pipe up if I'm trying to show you something you should be able to read and you can't read it, and I'll switch into presentation mode.
And then if we pin it, it's even better.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely pin me. How are you doing, Chester? Good to see you. Oh, you're muted. We can't hear what you're saying.
I'm sorry, I turned it off, but I'm now on.
Excellent.
Well, thank you.
We have been having rainstorms this morning. I've had rain coming down on my office. We had a brownout earlier this morning, and I had a a pause in internet. I've told you before that I've been using Juan's X-Pro system, and all of a sudden internet just froze up this morning. I'm like, oh my gosh, we might not be able to do the meeting as the lights are going. And it came back. I could see all of Juan's system, but I couldn't see the internet on the other side. But it's come back, so hopefully it'll. I'm stating all the. I'm managing expectations. I might just disappear in the middle of this meeting and not come back. Boy, we could do with some cool weather around here, though, and some rain.
Maybe I can send you some. I think it's 60 degrees right now.
Oh, you're bragging. What is it right now? Yesterday, well, for the last few days, it's been 90 to 95 degrees. Right now, it's 82. I feel like I'm in Alaska.
Yeah, 61 degrees.
Oh, yeah. I'd like some of that weather.
I'm trying to convert in my head to figure out how much we are. This morning it was like 12 or 13 Celsius. And,
boy, I have given up trying to do that in my head anymore. I don't know if it's because I'm 50 at this point, but the math is just not worth it.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning, Jim. With a smart speaker and an assistant, I can always just ask him, what's 12 degrees Celsius in Fahrenheit? In fact, I wonder if I can get Cortana to answer for us right now.
Hey, Bill, ask Alexis what the temperature is in Fahrenheit.
What is 12 degrees Celsius in Fahrenheit?
In Fahrenheit. What's...
Didn't hear it.
Alexa, louder. Alexa,
I don't think I've ever used that.
Here in Fahrenheit.
Hey, Jim, we're already streaming to YouTube. Just FYI. I don't know where you are, but it's beautiful. I like your background.
Yes, if we're rating backgrounds, Jim Cunningham gets the best one.
That's right.
That log cabin is awesome.
I'm getting absolutely no sound whatsoever.
So
I'm on Google Meet.
Do you have headphones?
I am getting closed captions, so I can see what you're saying.
Do you have headphones? Maybe try plugging in a pair of headphones.
Oh, I know what it is.
There we go.
It's that fancy new speaker of yours, Jimmy.
Hey, it's 9 o'clock. I kind of feel like I ought to introduce our meeting. This is the San Carlos Computer Club, and I am Scott Stimson. That's the wrong camera. From International Computer Solutions, you can find things about us at sccclub.org or look for computer help at internationalcs.net. This is the San Carlos Computer Club in our regular fashion. We have met without an agenda. We're disorganized and hoping all this stuff is working. How are you guys doing this morning? I'm expecting people will probably filter in. I've got a couple of topics on my list, but as always, I'm happy to listen to any questions or topics you guys have brought to the table today. Is there anything that we should be addressing right off the top of the hour?
Scott?
Yes, sir. Yes, Bill. I just
wanted to say that your instructions on getting the Amazon Fire to load other apps, like out of Google... The Google Store, it worked just fine.
Awesome. So you got the Google Play Store installed in your Amazon Fire, and then you were able to use that to install apps that are not available in the Amazon Store.
Yeah, I actually have Chrome on my Amazon Fire.
That's awesome.
It is awesome.
Well, and I linked to that in the last meeting. So if anybody's looking for those instructions, there's great straightforward instructions linked on the last meeting, the 4th of July meeting.
Yeah, basically, there was three. You go to that link. There's three steps, and you just go. You hit the first link, and it downloads. It does something. You hit the second one. You hit the third one, in that order, and you look, and there's Google Play Store sitting on your desk.
Well, that's awesome, and so then, I mean, you've got access to a whole bunch of other software. The only unfortunate thing about doing this in this manner is that one of the security techniques used is these vetted app stores. Like for example, your iOS devices, your Apple devices, you cannot get software into your device if it doesn't come out of their app store. So an Apple user, it's never really occurred to them to try and put software into their device from somewhere other than the app store from Apple. It's called sideloading, and it's why you jailbreak a iPhone or an iPad, is so that you have the ability to sideload apps. But the Apple App Store has done such a good job of being inclusive of software. The people have forgotten this idea. When the iPhone first came out, this was a really big deal. There's a lot of developers that were developing software for iPhone that was unauthorized by Apple. Sometimes they would submit software to the App Store, and Apple, for whatever its reasons, would stop or wouldn't allow it. And so they had this great piece of software, but they couldn't get it approved. And so they would just stick it in one of these jailbreak stores. And if people wanted to take advantage of it, they'd have to jailbreak their iPad or iPhone. Apple's done such a great job of attracting developers to using their system. You don't even think about that kind of stuff anymore. I mean, unless you're an extreme hacker, you're trying to put stuff into your phone, tools that Apple would never authorize. But for normal people, you'd never consider jailbreaking an iOS device. In Android, it's more similar to the Windows experience. And the security device they've used is in the settings of the Android device. By default, you're not allowed to install software from anything. Oh, here comes Linda. You're not allowed to install software from anything except their anointed app store. So you have an Amazon tablet. Amazon wants you to only use their app store, and they're saying that the device is more secure because that's the only place you can install software from. However, in an Android world, you can just go into settings and you can flip a switch that says, I don't care if it comes from the secure location. That's essentially what you're doing. I want to install it from anywhere. All of a sudden, you've switched your Android experience into a Windows experience where it's a free-for-all. So you're eliminating one of those security switches, one of those things that's meant to protect you. But it harkens back to the way we used to install software on Windows computers in the first place. Hey, Linda, how are you doing? Good morning. We have already gotten started. Hey, Dave, glad to see you. I hope you can hear me okay. We've got a...
Hey, you know what's funny?
Do I know what?
You know what's funny? What is funny?
Yeah.
I tried to put in the code just by going to Google Meeting, and it says it's not right. And then when I go in from the email, it works. So do I have the code wrong? Is it a Q or a G?
It's a Q.
Oh, that's why.
It's okay. A Q. Every Saturday I do the same thing. I do a typo and I go, wait, why isn't this meeting working?
Okay.
Hey, I think I've got enough of you guys here that I want to re-announce this. If I make a Google Calendar scheduled reoccurring meeting for Saturdays and add all your Google accounts as attendance, then I don't have to let you into the meeting. It would be a different meet number. And so I'm not certain. A lot of you are getting into this meeting from an email that I send out, but maybe you're using the Facebook announcement, or maybe you're going to the web page. I'm just mentioning it here is that if I do that, I'd like to do it for the next meeting. And so it'd be a scheduled meeting, and it would have a different meet number. And so it'd be the first time that we've changed the meet number since we started this. So this is kind of a heads up that the next meeting might be a little more difficult, because you may have a shortcut, or you may have your way of getting into this particular meeting. And what I'd like to do is change the meet number so that I can do this. So I can put all of you into a scheduled reoccurring meeting. At the same time, you'll end up with two announcements. You'll end up with one from Google Calendar, and you'll end up with my email announcement. And I'll make sure both are up to date with the new meet number. What I can't do is I can't use the old meet number unless something's changed. So that's my PSA for San Carlos Computer Club. Next week, expect a new meet number. And if you talk to anybody, just mention that to somebody.
Okay, I have another question.
Certainly. Linda, I think you had a topic as well that you wanted to talk about.
Well, LastPass?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I put everything in LastPass. But when you go to the web, you have to go to LastPass and go to the website from LastPass? Or can you just go to LastPass from your...
I have fallen in love with LastPass. And I could show you how I find myself using it on my PC, if you guys are interested. If others are interested in this, do I see some nods there? Does anybody using? Say that again, Chester. Yeah. Okay. Let me turn this on. Let's do my screen.
I'm with Chester. I'm with Chester. He said, what the hell is it?
LastPass is your little black book of passwords, but it's virtual and it's stored in the cloud. So let me see. You should be looking at my screen now. See a microphone and some garbage on there. I am going to open up. LastPass is a plugin that I use under my Scott profile. And up here, it shows up as this square with three dots on it, and it's red if you're signed into it. Can you guys see that okay?
Yeah.
So when I go to a website, well, for example, right now, can you guys see the two?
Yeah.
Two means that I have stored in LastPass two different credentials for this web address for Google. Oh. It's telling me that. It's saying if I need to sign into the site, I've got two different options stored in my black book of passwords.
Okay.
I'm clicking on LastPass right now, and you'll see a drop-down. And wow, the drop-down has changed since the last time I saw this. Interesting. It doesn't show me my options, probably because I'm already signed in. Let me find something maybe I'm not already signed into.
You have to open your vault.
Well, I don't have to, but I'm already signed in. Let me find something that I'm not. Hi, Paul. Thank you. I use a service to keep track of all my TV and movie viewing. This might be a little embarrassing. There's a lot of hours in here. But I typically don't sign into it under my Google account, under my Chrome. I use Opera to keep track of the cookies and the history and stuff like that. So I know I'm going to have to sign in. So here we are. LastPass has put a 1. And it's filled it out. Because it's a 1, it's given me no options. You see the 1 up here in the bar, and next to the password and the username, there's a gray LastPass icon with a 1. And so it's already filled out my login. Do you see that?
This is my question.
Yes.
Is it filling out the login? It's your original login.
Now, what gets confusing is that all your browsers now have the ability to keep track of your passwords.
Right.
And so that ability is going on at the same time as you're using LastPass.
Okay.
And so what I try to do, and I think this is a good – first, you want to fill up LastPass with your passwords. What that means is installing LastPass and then going to each one of the sites that I need to log into and signing into them with the pre-saved password. Like if I use Chrome is saving my passwords and usernames. So I would go to Chrome, allow it to sign myself in. LastPass.
It's terrible. Your voice is terrible.
Yeah, is that the case for everybody?
No.
No, it's fine.
Paul, are you hearing everybody else fine? Paul, are you still there?
He's got his mic off.
I think Paul might be having some internet issue on his end. If you guys can still hear me, okay.
Yes.
I hear you fine.
Okay. So I just used LastPass to sign into this service.
You are garbled.
Paul, I'm sorry, you're garbled too. I think you might be having bandwidth issues. Well, so I used LastPass to sign in here. Now, the very first time I set up LastPass, I signed into here, and LastPass is running. It sees I signed in and asks me if I want to add those credentials to my LastPass database. And I just say, okay. And it's added. When I'm comfortable that all my sites have been added, actually, you know, a good way to do this, now that I'm thinking about it, is to go into your browser's list of passwords. I'm going to end up revealing personal stuff here, I know. In Chrome, you can, if you're signed into Chrome, like I am here, I'm synchronizing passwords and stuff like that with Google. There is this key under my username that's passwords. If I click on it, it opens up a page that shows me all my sites. I obviously have not done what I'm suggesting. I need to get rid of all these sites.
Oh.
But these sites are your Chrome sites. These are the ones that Chrome is saving for you, your username and passwords. And so from here, you can click on a site. I'm looking for a site I'm not signed into right now, something that I haven't saved my LastPass, maybe Patreon. Flex, Terry and Jim. Welcome, Terry and Jim.
They just called me.
Okay.
Because they thought it was a G also. I didn't realize it was a Q.
All right. Gosh, what can I sign into that? I think I've got all of these already signed in. I don't know what this LQ is. Let's try this Just Fly. Okay, so I'm going from Chrome's list of passwords, and I clicked on the site that mattered to me to record. I'm going to Just Fly, Cheap Sites. Okay, that's fine. I don't have a session. I'm going to sign in. Ugh, and because of the way they do their sign-in, oh, there we go. What was my sign-in over here? Just Fly, it's my Hotmail address. So I'm going to choose my Hotmail address. And you see that password that's been filled out? That is from my Chrome browser. Because right. I saved it in Chrome. I've been using Chrome. You can also see there's a LastPass icon to the right of it. That gray, and it has no number. And that's because I haven't saved any password in LastPass yet. So I'm going to hit sign in. Hopefully this signs me in. I haven't been on this site forever. No, it hates it. I wonder if they killed my account. There was, let me go back. I did have another record. Let's see if this one will let me in. Sign in. Nope, it hates my password. Damn it.
Well, I can explain.
Sure.
You just sign in, the next thing you know, and after I started putting all those passwords in,
yep.
I realized you could just go to the site, sign in, and then the password, the LastPass comes up, and you can add it. But then you got to go back into LastPass and put it in the categories you want. Like, because they've got banking category, they've
okay.
got shopping, and that's easy. After I put in about 10 passwords, I realized you could just go right there and do it that way.
Linda, it's even easier than that. When you sign in to your site and LastPass asks if you want to save it, it's yeah. got additional options right there in that dialog box.
Oh, there, I didn't see that.
There, yeah, you just look at that dialog box a little closer, and what you'll find is it's presenting you. You may have to hit like an advanced or an options link on it, but what you can bring up is it'll ask you what folder you want to put it in. It'll be like a drop down. Here comes Judy. It'll be like a drop down, and it'll list all the categories that you already have in LastPass. So like in my LastPass, I've got financial passwords, I've got social network passwords, I've got entertainment passwords like Netflix and Track and Plex and things like that. And if you don't have the category already existing, that same field, you can type in the new category.
Right. That's what I've been doing.
But you can, hold on a second, Cheryl. You can do it, Linda, right when you're saving the password, right from the site.
Oh, okay.
If that makes sense. Is that you go and sign in for the first time, you have LastPass running, and in that dialog that pops up going, do you want to save this in LastPass? There's an additional option in that window that allows you to specify which folder this password exists in or which category this password should go into. So I'm signing into my bank for the first time. It says, do you want to save this password? And I look at that dialogue and I choose yes, but I want it in the financial category. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And if the financial category... Say again, Linda?
I just saw the green and it went okay.
Right, but if you don't go okay immediately and look at that window that's asking you if it's okay, there are like one or two other options. I really need a new site to sign into. I'm signed into all my sites. I need to find a site to sign into that I haven't signed into before. Because it'll bring up that dialogue, and in that dialogue, you can tell it which folder or a folder and category are synonymous in this discussion. Because I think the language is both words are used in LastPass. But if it doesn't exist at that moment, you can type in the category, so you don't have to go to the vault. If that makes sense.
Okay, I'll try it.
Yeah, I just wish I could find something to sign into that I haven't signed into before.
I have a question.
Yeah, Judy, good morning.
With Touch ID, good morning.
Yes, with Touch ID, what's the question?
Does it work with Touch ID or facial recognition ID?
That is a good question. That's a very Macintosh question right now, or an Apple question right now. And I might have to get back to you on that. I'm not certain what the experience is with Touch ID and LastPass.
So I missed the first.
My question's not going to be as good, but it was before Judy's.
Well, actually, Cheryl, you are definitely next. But I do know that on your phone, on your mobile device, I have fingerprint authentication on my Android device. I have a spot that I hit to authorize my phone. And LastPass on my phone is set up to allow me to use that to sign into it. So if I bring up my LastPass little black book of passwords on my Android phone, it'll ask me to do my touch to allow me access so I don't have to type the password in. And then after that, I've accessed all my passwords. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Okay, first of all, Chrome, when you did that, I figured out how I can find out what passwords I've saved. So thank you. I can go back and do that one. This LastPass is an app that you install, and does it work across all browsers?
Yes, or at the moment, all the browsers we've ever talked about. It is a plug-in in a browser. So it's a plug-in. Another language for a plug-in is an extension, and they'll use different names depending on what browser. In Chrome, it's extensions.
Right. So you don't necessarily download the app. You install an extension.
Both. What I would do to get into LastPass is I would go to their website and sign up the account, and it's going to take you to the extension for your browser, for the particular browser you're using.
If so you sign up with LastPass, and then you add the extension LastPass to the browser you want to use.
Yeah, it's part of the sign-up process. After you've got the account, then it immediately puts you in front of the extension or a link to the extension so you can install it in your browser.
All right. Now, is this a more secure thing, a more convenient thing? What is your number one reason for using LastPass as opposed to just saving your passwords in your
Chrome browser?
Yeah.
So one of the real advantages is this concept of a black book, this little black book of your passwords. What that means is as long as you remember your LastPass password, which is vitally important. I have one customer, she has all kinds of problems remembering her passwords, so I set her up with LastPass. And the last time I was there, she had forgotten her LastPass password, it had been changed, and there's nothing we could do. In fact, if she wanted, she could not get back into the LastPass. She had to set up a brand new LastPass and do everything from scratch again. Because she could not, there was no recovering the LastPass password. There is some degree of recovering the LastPass password. My tongue's starting to go numb.
Yeah. So
they have a recovery, but they have a limitation on the recovery. So if you have to use the recovery too often, you can just say, they can just go, nope, you're done. That's it. And if you have a premium account, you might actually even find yourself on the phone trying to get access back to it. So I recommend treating your LastPass password like gold. It's your golden ticket to every password. It needs to be secure, and you have to know it.
I have a question about Cheryl's question.
Okay, I'm not certain I've finished answering Cheryl's question. Did I give you the answer? Because I digress so easily, I think I might have skipped off of the question.
No, I can see the advantages of using it, and
I know what I was going to tell you.
About security, how secure is this thing?
Well, it's been vetted by security experts for years, and it is the go-to for most computer people at the moment. And the browsers are catching up with this concept. It's encrypted. It's very difficult to break the encryption, but it is stored in the cloud. And so it is on other servers. But even LastPass isn't able to get at your passwords because of the way it's been built, and it has been vetted that there is no way that they, even if you could call somebody at LastPass and go, look, I need the password from my account, they can't get into it without your password to LastPass. So they basically have the same access to it you do, except they don't have your password. There is no back end to it.
So why wouldn't I just save it in Chrome? I always do Chrome, like...
Chrome and Firefox was one of the first that was saving passwords and allowing you to sync them to a service. And then Chrome very quickly followed that. If you stay in one ecosystem, if you use Chrome across all your devices, then that system works. You sign into your browser, and it synchronizes your passwords over to the browser. But if you're floating around ecosystems, like say you have a Macintosh and an Android phone and a Fire tablet, then it gets cumbersome to pass these passwords around. Also, if you're using apps, this is my favorite example, is on my Android phone, I have plenty of apps that have nothing to do with Chrome. And so it isn't easy for me to pull those passwords out like a little black book. The LastPass allows me to have an app that in a perfect world will sign me into Facebook on my phone. It will see that I've pulled up the Facebook app for the first time. For example, I have problems with my phone. I refresh it back to square one. I start installing apps. The first time I start up Facebook, it doesn't have my username and password in it. But in a perfect world, and I say in a perfect world because LastPass has gotten better about this, but it's something that every time they change securities, it may or may not work. It can fill in that password for you. And that's something that the Chrome web browser cannot do in the Facebook app. If you follow what I mean.
Yeah, I get that.
So that's a big advantage. And because it's cross-platform, I can do that for all my apps on my Windows computer, on my Macintosh computer, on my tablet, on my phone. And that's a big advantage.
Which brings me back to my question. Do you have to do this on each application?
On each application... You need to record your passwords in LastPass.
Okay.
And you can do that from the web browser. And if you have LastPass running in the background and you start a new application and sign into it, LastPass should grab that information and ask you if you want to save it. Should. I say should because every time a security update happens, it may or may not work.
But you also said that if I have Google open and I go onto LastPass through Google, I can add that extension to Google. Do I have to add it separately to Firefox?
Yes.
And to Epic?
Opera. Yep. That's right. Yes. It's a different, because it's a plugin. Or an extension, depending on what browser you're in, what you're going to call it. You have to add the extension. It's like installing an app for your browser. But then after that, you sign into it, and all your passwords are there.
What?
If that makes sense.
Well, it does make sense. It seems a little cumbersome.
Well,
I'd like to ask if I could compare LastPass with what I'm doing. Why is LastPass better is my question.
Sure. What are you doing, Chester?
Okay, I have a external hard drive. All of my passwords on that hard drive. And I only plug the hard drive in when I'm adding or deleting a new password.
Right.
Print them so that I have a printing of the passwords in case I need one or in case the failure of the hard drive. So why would I need LastPass?
That's a great question, Chester. And my answer to that is what first made me really interested in LastPass. And it's this concept of a next of kin. And so with LastPass, you can specify an email to be the person that has access, has been authorized to your passwords in case you've passed away. And so...
Let me answer that. Because I print.
Sure.
I print a copy for myself, but I also have a copy of the print in my will.
Right. Your will has to be updated all the time. I mean, in that case, but I don't want to address specifically that point. I just want to add these points to why I was interested in LastPass. And one of them, I mean, besides being secure, being available anywhere on the internet, the idea that you're able to assign, I'm able to put my wife's email in. She's able to go to LastPass. LastPass, if LastPass has not been accessed within a period of time I set, like a 30-day period of time, it's able to send out to my next of kin. And they're able to get access to all my passwords.
Now, without a password.
I haven't done it. It might be something like you have to set up a password because now you're in charge of all these passwords. And so you, because your email's there, you have access to this account, but first you have to go through the LastPass setup, if you follow what I mean. I mean, it just makes logical sense. I haven't died. My wife hasn't had to deal with it, so I don't actually know what happens. But without a password, you have access to that list of passwords. But it's all dependent on LastPass not getting a response from me. I have not used LastPass within a time period I've set. Like, say I set 30 days. Say I'm dead, I'm sick, and I know that it's going to happen at some point. I've set it at like a 30-day interval. And I'm going into my web browser, accessing LastPass to sign in. And all of a sudden, I pass away. Nobody's using LastPass. It's not being updated. It's not seeing any activity. It'll send an email to my next of kin saying, well, first it'll send an email to me saying, hey, what's going on? We haven't seen you in a while. And then after a period of time, it will send a letter to my next of kin saying, we haven't seen such and such in a long period of time. And that, from that email, my wife can get into LastPass and get access to all that information. Hmm. Now, that's that function coupled with the encryption, which would take, you know, the Department of Homeland Security or the NSA to break, with an array of supercomputers. Granted, if the government wanted to crack it, they could. We're more concerned about some malicious neighbor cracking your passwords, right? Some hacker out there on the internet, but they don't have the resources the government has. So over a period of years with supercomputers, they could crack in this encryption. I'm guessing, as far as I know, they can't, but I'm just guessing that's the world we live in. You can put credit cards into LastPass, passports into LastPass. You can put photos and documents. You can fill up your LastPass the same way you fill up your file cabinet at home with all your sensitive data. And so that whole archive of sensitive data ends up being available for when you pass away. Sorry, I just realized I had a speaker on that was monitoring inside my house. I had to turn that off.
Okay, so I have a question.
Please.
Okay, I downloaded it on my tablet. See, I think the downloading on your tablet and your phone is what saves you, because when you're out and you're using your phone and you have to go look up your damn password, then it takes a lot of time. The question is, I brought up LastPass now, and I've got all of my accounts showing, but when I click on the accounts to go there, it says I'm not authorized. So what am I doing wrong?
So you're bringing up the LastPass app?
Yes.
When I go
to the website, it doesn't bring up the last, it doesn't show the LastPass on the tablet. So what am I doing wrong?
What I do is that I bring up the LastPass app.
That's what I've got up.
And I make sure my permissions are set so that it can modify the screen.
Where do you set the permissions?
Well, it should be asking you for that. I'm trying to bring it up right now, and it's taking forever to load itself up on my phone. So,
are you going to settings?
Well, it should actually put it in front of you, but it should be under settings as well. What it'll do is it'll take you to Android settings where you authorize it under accessibility. So that I'm sorry?
It took me to LastPass. How about security?
What needs to happen is LastPass has to be authorized to write on the screen of your device. And that's through accessibility settings in the Android setup or in the Android settings. Okay, but LastPass typically takes you right there when you're setting it up. There we go. Okay.
So I'm in the settings. Where do I go?
Hold on. I'm trying to follow you. I'm getting into LastPass right now. I've got my list of sites there. Do I already have it set up? Let me go into settings here. Security.
Do I go into biometrics and security?
Hold on. I set this up a long time ago. Now I'm looking for it. It's not supposed to be that complicated. It should be right in front of us. Autofill. Autofill is what you need to go under.
Autofill?
Yeah. Under...
All right.
Okay, so you go into settings, go into autofill, and then turn on autofill login credentials. And that will say, for you to do this, you have to authorize it in your... It says, we need your permission to fill logins on this device.
Okay, so it's under general management, language, and input.
On the Android device. Under LastPass, it's under autofill. And then when you hit next, it takes you to the Android settings that you need to set.
Okay. I'm on the Android. It has autofill service, and under it is LastPass. Should I click on it?
Yes, because right now it says off, right?
No.
You should have a list of your services.
It says Google.
Yep.
Autofill Samsung Pass and LastPass, and the blue, the dot is filled on the LastPass.
You know what, Linda? Here is an example of how Android is not standardized. This is what it looks like on my phone. I don't know if you can see that. Let me...
We can't see you. On the phone may be different than the tablet.
Right. Or our versions of Android might be presenting it differently. But it should be this... Say again?
It's very blurry.
It's very blurry. I don't know what to do about it being very blurry because I have no way to present this phone.
You are clear, but the phone is blurry.
Yeah.
Hold it back to your head.
And I've got reflection on it, and I can't see. And now it's turned itself off.
I'm installing it on my phone now, but I have it installed on my tablet.
But what I can tell you is on my phone, it shows up under accessibility settings.
Yeah.
And there, and then under accessibility settings, I have a list of services that can take advantage of writing on an app. And I've turned LastPass on.
So it says input assistant on mine, on the Google. I mean on AutoPath.
Okay, that makes sense. Input assistant.
So it says auto input assistant, autofill service, and under it has LastPass.
And so what all that is giving permission to the LastPass app to write, to be a keyboard on the applications that you have. And that should allow it to auto-fill your username and password on your apps. Okay. And here's the another advantage, Chester, of using LastPass. If I get a new device or I need to format my device, then one of the first apps I install is my LastPass. I turn on the autofill, I sign in, turn on the autofill, and then I proceed to download all my apps. And every app can get authorized through my LastPass. So
when
when
I look at the app, it says there's an in-app purchase. Is there a cost to this?
No.
There shouldn't be for the free version, but you're on an iOS device, so I'm not sure what that's really referring to.
Well, we'll see here.
But you shouldn't have to purchase it for personal use, for a simple personal use. There are some advantages to purchasing a premium service if you're a business or you're a family. Like I should eventually buy a family plan so that all my kids and my wife are all using LastPass. They've got a special price for everybody to have so many accounts. And it comes with extra features.
Does it look like three dots and a bar? The app itself?
I guess, yeah. On my equipment, it looks like a square with three dots.
Yeah, a red box with three dots.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, we'll see what it looks like. So far, it hasn't asked me to, it wants to enable notifications, but that's the only other thing.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what notifications would be telling you from a LastPass app.
Allowing it right now. So. Okay. We'll see. I'll let you know if they try and charge me something later.
Yeah. They shouldn't. They have a free tier that I think is fine for all of us. But then there's some of those other features that need to...
Okay.
That are needed. I mean, if you want them, you'd have to buy the premium version. But I think the free version's really good. And I think that in general, up till recently, they've had better security. They've had a higher level of encryption standard. But now I think all the web browsers are caught up with it. I think anything that's Chrome-based has the same level of encryption. Firefox has the same level of encryption. Safari, you know, in the iOS ecosystem, if you're using Macintosh computers and iPads and iPhones, there's already something like this exists for all those devices. It is your iCloud account where you share your keychain.
Oh, okay.
Right? And so when you save passwords on any of your Apple devices, it automatically goes into the keychain. And you can set up your Apple account, your iCloud account, to save that keychain and share it to all your Apple devices. So in an all-Apple world, you don't need an app like this. You can just use iCloud. There isn't an equivalent in the PC world or the Android world. Google Chrome is the closest thing. And then Google, in the latest Android devices, tries to back up all your preferences, all your settings for these apps, and some of them sign in just fine and some of them don't. It backs them up, but then when you restore them, it may or may not work, from my experience. And I really – oh, go ahead, Judy. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I guess I didn't really ever know what Keychain really was, so I didn't – I would always say, no, don't save.
Yeah. Yeah, so Keychain is an encrypted keychain. It's encrypted. It's LastPass, but it's the Apple version, and it's been around forever.
Okay.
But then, still, I think there's a lot of value in being able to take sensitive items that would typically be like in a paper safety deposit box or a file cabinet in your house, and getting those into a service like LastPass. So, like, my wife doesn't have to worry about where that info is, that she could get access to it. And that's one of the – oh, you know, that's one of the premium services. If you're paying for the premium service, you can share your passwords and your contents, your sensitive contents, with other LastPass accounts. So if I saved the credit card data, my birth certificate, my passport, all that stuff – with my wife, I don't have to die in the premium service for her to get access to that. That's available to her. If I've signed up for Netflix, I've signed up for Amazon Prime, and we use the same account, she would instantly have access to those because we have a family account, and I've said those ones are to share across LastPass. So she's got her own LastPass account. I've got my own LastPass account. This is an example. She actually doesn't. And I can say, and with the premium service, I can say these passwords have to be available for my wife's LastPass account. And so I just check them as being – and that's part of the family plan LastPass account, or even the corporate plan. There's a corporate plan where you have employees working under you, but you only have one account on a service. Say like your web page. Well, you're going to be passing over who's responsible for working on that web page throughout the life of your business. And so you set them up with a LastPass account under your business, and you say, okay, now this person has access to this login. You can revoke it, and you can pass it over to another person.
Okay, another question then. So this is my safety deposit box. Is the free version of LastPass adequate enough to keep my safety deposit docs?
Yes, you can keep your credit card information in it. You can stick pictures in. You can take pictures of documents that you don't want to lose, like a boat or a car registration. I mean, things like that that you might want to be able to have on the fly, but you don't want to carry them around with you. And you can stick them in your LastPass, the free version, and you can bring them up on your phone or your tablet wherever you are.
Okay. So, and it's an adequate enough size to do?
Haven't seen a size limit. That's not really what they're selling you. I think it's limitless. I think it's bottomless as far as that stuff goes. I would have
to, for next of kin and everything, you'd have to buy the family, like, more than the free version.
You know, I'd have to double check at this point, because we went through this about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years. I think maybe I've been using LastPass for 2 years. So I was really up to date on all their features when I first got involved with it. And now I'm not certain. I'm not certain if you can put a video in. That would take up a lot of space. I'm not sure if you have to pay for a next of kin. It seems like when I set up, you did have to pay for next of kin. But I'm not saying that's still the case. You know, they are competing now directly with what the web browsers do. But they're so much more robust in options than what the web browsers do.
I guess you are limited because this is held in the cloud, right?
Yes. So that's another thing to think about when you're thinking about using a service like this. LastPass has been truly vetted by security experts I trust. That's the reason I got involved in it in the first place, is I just kept listening to these people I really respect talking about what a good system this is and what good encryption it has. The flip side of this is it's in the cloud. Mm-hmm. The NSA has made it very clear. Any traffic flying through the internet that's encrypted, they grab, they store, and they keep it indefinitely. And they use it to train themselves. They use it for training purposes to make better breaking encryption programs. Yeah. And so if you have anything encrypted in the cloud, the NSA has a copy of it, and they're using it to exercise their latest technologies. Regardless of whether you're under investigation or not, you are part of their toolkit of practice. So there is that aspect. Like, if I was a cyber criminal doing cyber terrorist activities, I would not get involved with LastPass. But me being a normal person that wants a secure place that's difficult for hackers to get into, I mean, extremely difficult for hackers to get into. I mean, like it is a vector, but it has been really well vetted, so it is not something that gets compromised. They have had, not recently, but in the past, I can think of two different times they had a security issue. And both times it had to do with the implementation. It wasn't the encryption that was in question. It wasn't their cloud services that was in question. It was the implementation on your end of it that had gotten broken by something. And so if somebody had been able to get access to your computer, if I'm remembering this correctly, it was a while ago. If somebody had access to your computer, they could sit down at your desk, your computer was open, but LastPass wasn't signed in. There was a way to get signed into LastPass and get your passwords. Now, let me say, that kind of flaw exists in the web browsers as well. So you're not any more or less secure when that flaw existed. But they took care of that flaw. And so that flaw doesn't exist any longer. But it really had less to do with breaking cloud encryption and more to do with implementation of this system on the individual devices. If I ever feel like LastPass is not a safe alternative, it is safer than the little black book, Chester. It is. Because your hard drive can fail, it can be stolen, and it can be read in plain text, which means it doesn't have to fail or be stolen. Somebody disreputable that has access to your computer can see that data. And so I genuinely feel like it is more secure than the little black book. That's what Chester's external hard drive is a little black book.
Yes, and you're correct. It could be stolen. My computer could be stolen. And
somebody could come into your house with a little bit of knowledge and start rifling through your stuff and find the book. In your case, find the hard drive. Either take it with them or just plug it in and see your list of passwords.
Yeah, you're right.
So, yeah, I think if I ever reach a point where I feel like it's been compromised or not safe, I will immediately let everyone I've suggested it to know about that, and we'll immediately come up with a different plan. But that plan will include grab a list of all your passwords as quickly as possible. I know I've forgotten a lot of passwords. Here is, you know, what I'm realizing as we're talking about this is that here is another reason that I like LastPass. And the browsers do this as well now, but they didn't before, is they have an option to generate a secure password. Now, I am the kind of person that tests different services on the internet all the time. And so I'm having to generate a password for those services. In the past, I would use some silly, just throwaway password, something that was just easy to remember. But it's highly insecure to do that. And you're a human. So what you want to bet, I ended up using the same throwaway password on dozens of different sites that I was trying out. If I came across the site that I ended up using more often than just experimentation, I may have forgotten to change that password to a more secure password. I hope you're following my example here. So I want to try out some movie database, but I mean, I don't care about it. I just want to try it. I have some throwaway password, like, hey, let me the hell into it, right? Very easy to guess. I don't really care about it. I'm not coming back to this service. Maybe that's one of those throwaway passwords I use all the time. But I find I like the service, but I forget to change the password on it. Now it's a highly insecure service. What I do now, I changed my behavior. I never use a throwaway password any longer. I don't believe in a throwaway password any longer. I go to these services I want to test now, and I let LastPass make a password for it. And it's ridiculous. It's 12 to 16 characters, completely random. I couldn't guess it to save my life, and it auto-fills it out to this service. Now, I can walk away from that service without worrying about it. And if I need to get back into it, it's recorded in LastPass, so I don't even need to worry about whether I remember it or not. Most of these services, almost all of these services, require your email address, so I can reset the password if I have to. But what I'm comfortable in knowing is I don't have another web page out there, another web service out there with an identical password. So my throwaway password services for testing, where they used to be the least secure sites in my world, have now become some of the most secure sites in my world. And I like it for that. Have I beat LastPass to death? Is there any questions or more information you guys want?
It was really interesting. It wasn't a topic for today, but that was kind of cool. On your topics, you were going to talk about Streamio a little bit more this week, I think.
Oh my gosh, I completely forgot.
Okay.
I wanted to show it to you. Gosh, and I completely forgot about it. Streamio. I will make a point of getting myself set up so that I can do a presentation of Streamio.
Okay.
I'm making a note right now.
And what was that subject?
Streamio. Streamio is an application that you can use to watch movies without paying for it and TV shows. And it's available in app stores, so you don't have to do some weird unauthorized installation. It's a legitimate app. Within the app, it has plugins, and there are the authorized legitimate plugins that make it a legitimate app, but then they also have community plugins, and that's what's made it so powerful. Because the community of developers have created their own plugins for this app, and those plugins can go to websites that are hosting content and search it and allow you to watch that content on those websites. And Streamio throws their hands up and says, we had nothing to do with this. This is our community, but not our program. And in that respect, they're able to be a legitimate app. I use it all the time.
Scott?
Yes, sir.
Do you have to have a VPN on when you're using Streamio? When you're doing into those community sites?
I don't. But
if you're in Mexico.
Right. If you have a concern, I get a little turned off by where we are with the VPN stuff, because our whole attitude in the industry across the network has changed. The content owners have stopped suing people. It's just not happening. Bill, you're not going to be approached by Sony to pay back thousands of dollars in breaking copyright by watching Spider-Man online. It's just, we're not going back to that world anymore. And one of the reasons is it was very ineffective. They only had one successful lawsuit. They filed hundreds of lawsuits against people, and they only had one successful lawsuit. And they asked for so much money that later it was appealed as being ridiculous, and the mom never had to pay it. And it was all just a show of force. They wanted to show how powerful they were, so the rest of the world would be like, stop doing this, or we're going to come after you. What they did was what they should have done in the first place. They started ignoring all the piracy and started building better services. And that's why you're more likely to go look at Amazon Prime or Hulu or Netflix to find something to watch, because it's one button away. It works. It's just easy. It's available. And they concentrated on making content available. Now we're going into another weird world where they're siloing all this content. There's stuff on Disney that you're not going to be able to find on Netflix. There's stuff on Hulu that's not going to be on Amazon Prime. And so they're asking you to sign up for new streaming services. And so they're asking you to increase that bill. And as your monthly bill gets more expensive, it gets more painful. And it starts pushing people back to piracy. So at the moment, I'm sorry, what was that?
Would you spell it, please?
S-T-R-E-M-I-O. Streamio.
Okay, Scott, after the last club meeting, I downloaded it and set it up. It's nothing to set up. It's a little bit tricky when you start looking at the community boards, but it works fine.
Yeah. You go into the plugins, you switch the category to community. There's, I would say, 100 plugins for community, and you probably need 3. And those 3 would be BitTorrent sites like the Pirate Bay or 1337, things of that nature. And what works for you may not be what works for me. You might find a lot of success out of a plugin that I don't get a lot of success out of. So there might be some trial and error, but I can turn you on to some plugins that I think work really well for finding movies and TV. And the Streamio app itself presents to you a presentation very similar to Netflix. Movie posters and TV, like DVD covers. And you click on it, and then it uses the plugins to determine the availability of that content. Makes a list of the availability, and then you click in the availability list, and it starts the show.
So it's basically Streamio.
Streamio, yeah, that's right.
Streamio.
If you're pronouncing it in Spanish, it would be Streamio. But it's a great program. It is all the great things about Kodi, and it's easy for anyone to use. And that's the problem with Kodi. Kodi really requires a hobbyist to care about keeping that experience going. I mean, every time you go to Kodi, you may need to reconfigure it to have a better experience. Whereas this is that experience. It's the experience you get from Kodi without you having to worry about it. Plugins are taken care of by the community, and you just take advantage of what they've put together.
I have a question. Have you heard of Haystack?
Oh, I have, but I can't at the moment remember what it is.
It says that you can watch up to 200 channels free of local news and something else.
Haystack TV. Watch 200 plus. I've paid no attention to it. this
just
might
because
be...
I'm thinking of getting rid of DirecTV, and that's my only option. Well, that or Comcast, Xfinity, or whatever. It's
President
called,
Trump
you know,
says he will sign a major immigration
Colorado to get local
bill
channels.
That includes the DACA program within the next month.
So,
well, this is
well,
cool.
Judy.
Yes.
Why don't you do my TV box?
Hey, I might.
Yeah. And there's also that website, US TV.
That doesn't work very well.
No.
Hmm. Okay.
Not at all.
I've had good luck with it when I've gone to it. I just don't like real... I don't do any real-time TV watching anymore. And the news, like ABC has streaming international now, their live coverage. MSNBC has live coverage. CBS has live coverage, streaming all the time. That was the only thing I ever needed real-time coverage for. US TV. Say again?
But I want it on my TV.
And
then I have to load it onto Roku somehow.
Yeah, Roku should have the ABC app, ABC TV, or the ABC, and the CBS app. Those aren't available on Roku? I think they are.
I haven't looked.
Yeah, and they're also available on Android.
On Netflix and Disney Plus. It makes me happy.
Yep.
Well, the thing I like about DirecTV is I can... avoid all the ads.
Was that because of TiVo? Because you're able to skip through them?
No, I record everything in advance.
No.
Okay, so you were talking about USTV.TV not functioning.
And can lift as well.
I just went to
an uncomfortable underwire.
Yeah, here I am on.
This is Paula.
This
so
is ABC streaming
that you
right now.
Have issues with support when it comes to finding the right bra.
If it's comfortable, it doesn't.
I don't
look
think
good.
You can hear it.
And
though.
I happen to know.
Oh, and it's mad at me because of my ad blocker.
Right.
It doesn't like your ad blocker, and don't you have to have like a cable account or something?
Nope. You don't need a cable account. I haven't used this since the last time we talked about it, but I always feel like when I use it, it's successful. And I know Russ was using this on his Fire Stick to watch TV with a web browser on the Fire Stick.
It's making you cut out, though.
Yeah, he just disappeared.
Well, I was trying to put it on screen, but maybe your opinion of it is correct. I'll play around with it some more throughout the week and see if I still feel like it's a decent thing to use.
Okie dokie. See you next week.
Oh my gosh, we ran out of time.
Bye, Judy.
See ya, Judy.
Bye, Linda.
Oh, well, I guess I don't have any topics that really matter. There's nothing here that really matters to me that we talk about. I do have, let's see, Microsoft Teams. Maybe very interesting. We might want to try using Teams sometime because they've just offered this thing called Together Mode.
Yeah.
Is what you sent out by the Skype message?
That's what I was testing it the other day. I was hoping somebody might have saw it and joined me.
Well, I would have, but I was on my way out the door, so I couldn't.
So check this out. Do you see that on your screen? This is a Together mode. It's a stadium mode.
Wow.
So
what?
In Teams, Microsoft Teams. This has just been added to Microsoft Teams. And so you can choose from these predetermined venues of Together Mode. And like this is a stadium where they take your image and they make you part of this like auditorium that you're all sitting in. The idea
about
is...
a round
table? Say again?
A round table.
Yeah, they've got something like that, too. Let me see if... the... yeah, here. They've got this coffee shop. The idea being that psychologically, it's more comforting. You're not looking at people in boxes, but you're looking at them in a comfortable setting, and so you feel more comfortable with the meeting you're having. It's not appropriate for presentation. Like, say I had a PowerPoint and I was directing managers with information. Well, they wouldn't have any. There wouldn't be any advantage to using this. But if you're sitting around having a conversation, like around a conference table, but virtual, then this team has come up with this kind of idea. I thought it was kind of cool, and I'd be interested in trying it out. And you should be able to, if you have a Microsoft account, Microsoft Services account, that would be a Hotmail address or an Outlook.com address, or even an account you signed up for when you set up your Windows 10 computer, then you have access to Teams for free. You can bring up Teams, if I remember right, the address is teams.office.com. And this is a web browser version of Teams. I thought I was already signed into it. Hold on a second. San Carlos Club.org at Outlook.com. Thought I was already signed into it.
Therefore, your LastPass didn't work.
I'm actually, you know what? I do not, this, I'm in, I, if you can see my browser, I'm signed in as the San Carlos Computer Club, and don't allow it to go over to my personal account. So there is no LastPass installed in my San Carlos Computer Club.
Got it.
That would be kind of interesting. This evening, I'm taking part in a dramatic reading of the first act of Steel Magnolias, and we're recording it on Zoom, but it would be more interesting for the eventual audience that's going to see this, to see us in a round table kind of sitting instead of squares.
Yeah. I thought it would be fun for the club. Okay, here I am signed in. And it is insanely complicated. And we had talked about Teams weeks ago, when we were trying to find what venue we were going to host these meetings on. And I actually recommended don't even get into this stuff. It's way too complicated for what we're trying to accomplish. But with now I want to play with it now that they have this new together mode. But you don't have to pay for it. If you have a Hotmail account, you can sign into it as easily as I just signed into it. Or you have an Outlook account, it's the same thing. Hotmail.com, Outlook.com, MSN.com, they're all the same thing. And you'd have free access to this. And what I would do is I would set up a group and I would add your Microsoft Service account to it. And we would have a meeting number just like we do now. And so maybe one of these days, if you guys are interested, we'll give it a shot in meeting and we'll switch over to it while we're doing this. We'll host the meeting on Google Meet, and then we will individually get into Teams and we'll see if this together mode works. If you're interested.
So many virtual worlds to belong to. It's just...
I think at the very least it would be more entertaining to watch.
Well, so I'm gone. Everyone be safe.
Yeah.
I'm gone too.
All right, guys. Thanks for being here. I'm so happy every week to see you guys. I sure miss our regular meetings. This is a great touchstone. And since I've been in San Carlos and the bed and breakfast hasn't been running, I really do look forward to doing this each week with you guys. I'm glad I haven't had to stop. Let's plan on a Streamio demonstration next week. I will have it all in place and ready to go. If there's interest in a LastPass More LastPass, we could do that too. Just let me know. Maybe not in the same meeting. It's just like a lot to cover.
Well, Scott, I think that even two meetings ago, we got onto the iCloud versus Google Drive and all that storage kind of discussion. And I'm still trying to figure out which is the best bang for my buck and where I should be putting things. And so now you've added this safety deposit box idea with LastPost. So my head's getting a little bit full, but the whole topic of storage, secure storage, easy access across a family without spending lots and lots of money on a monthly subscription is something that I'm working on.
Can you imagine, can you see us like 10 minutes in the future where companies like Amazon or Microsoft might be just sending us out subscription devices? You buy in, like there's a flat fee, like maybe you pay $200 and then you pay $6 a month, and then each December they send you the latest tablet that they're using. Their budget-free tablet, so that you can continue to use their services. I mean, that's really the kind of world we're moving into, is you go to a kiosk and sign into your services, and now that kiosk is your device for that moment. You've got a device you pay almost nothing for because it's in their best interest you have a device. And so they send you out a device to make sure you're able to keep paying them a monthly subscription fee. And we're just like this close to that kind of stuff going down.
Yeah, I guess as opposed to, it's been so frustrating to me in this whole computer world thing. You buy a computer and how many... It used to be years, but how many months later it's obsolete. And that has been such a frustration for me to keep spending more money and buying more devices. And
well, and the planned obsolescence, like the way they glue things together and they build all the parts on one board. So it's almost ridiculous to repair. What we really need to move into is a model. And I think we are. Where the idea is that the device is being recycled, the company that's provided you with the device has the responsibility of safely recycling it, and their subscription model was one where you bring it in, or they send you the new one, and you send them the old one, and you don't have to worry about repair. That's pulled out of the equation. It's like, no, it's all the onus is on the manufacturer because they want you in the subscription model. Anyway.
I like it.
Other computing, if you buy a drive from them, you can buy the drive with the external...
with the cloud storage?
No, with the external. You take your internal drive and you take it out and you put it in this little box. And you can use it as a backup drive or as a...
an enclosure.
Yes, that's the word I'm looking for. Yeah. Anyway, they sell you that. And... I've got one from the last two times I've upgraded my computers.
Oh, okay. They still work fine. Yeah. I think this ends up being, I mean, there are always going to be people like you and me, Fred, where we're doing stuff like that, keeping their storage here right next to them, not allowing it to go out there on the cloud. But I really see a world, and we're quickly moving into it, where you have nothing. You are just this entity in the world, but you have this data footprint that needs to be available to you no matter what happens. And so you are floating between devices, living this digital life. And that includes storage, that includes encryption of your sensitive data, that includes access to all these services. And what these companies are competing against is with each other is providing these services to you as easily as possible. And we're just this close to that, including the hardware as well. When Amazon sells tablets for $49 for $50 a tablet, you can see they're just, as soon as Microsoft has a $50 tablet, all they have to do is put out a $50 tablet, or Apple put out a $50 tablet, your Amazon tablets are going to be free. You can just see it. That's just the way their market is working. Is they want you in their services. The fact that you'll pay for the hardware to get to their services is kind of a bonus right now, because in the end, they want you paying. They want that monthly trickle of income coming in. I'm afraid it's going to end up so easy, and there's a better word. I'm saying integrated with our lives, but it's. What is that word? It's just everywhere. It's like air. You can't get away from it. I'm sorry?
Omnipotent.
Well, that's probably another very good word for what will happen. All controlling, all knowing, all overseeing. The Brian almighty Vickery. Amazon.
Big brother.
That's right. Big brother Amazon. Big brother Alexis. Well, we probably need to take this to an end. We are about 20 minutes over, which is pretty normal for our meetings. But if there's any last minute questions or issues you'd like me to get to right now or to think about for next time, chime in, please. You think we got it?
I have a quick question for you.
Okay, Fred, and then Jim, were you trying to say something? Are you next on that list?
No, that's all right. I was just saying I'm looking forward to seeing your presentation on Streamio.
Oh, excellent. I will make it a priority. I'm so sorry I forgot about it last week.
No problem.
Go ahead, Fred.
And that okay. I brought that because we had promised Jim that you were going to talk about it.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jim. I made liars
right.
out of him. It's my
that's
problem.
All right.
Go ahead, Fred. Okay, what's your question?
I'm trying to... right now, my computer's down, and I'm working off of my iPad, and I'm trying to put stuff on a stick or something like that so I can print it out someplace. Do we have a way to print from an iPad and or save to a stick?
Yes, to both those questions. The iPad... Depending, is it up to date? Does it have the latest operating system?
Yes, it does.
So I believe you can now connect a stick directly to the iPad. There, you would need an adapter from FireWire. Is it? No, yeah, from Lightning. FireWire? Oh my gosh, my brain just hiccuped. Is it Lightning?
Lightning.
You'd need an adapter from Lightning to USB-A or USB-C, depending on what your stick is. But you can plug it directly into the iPad now, and you were not able to do that until these most recent updates.
Would that be sort of like our HDMI adapter that we bought with the Lightning?
Yes, it would be, but it would have a USB port on it so you can plug a stick into it. And then the latest versions of iOS have an application called Files. And it's a file manager for all the content that's stored on your iPad. So you can go into Files and you can pick and choose what to put on your stick. Now keep in mind, I'm saying all this, and I do not have any latest iOS devices with me. So it's all theoretical in my world. Though I was working with iOS devices the other day, and I got to play with the program, I haven't done what I'm saying you can do. But I know from reading you can do it. And then the other question was already forgotten. There was – oh, printing. Okay. Printing is an amazing thing now with mobile devices. I don't know if you remember back when we first got iPads and we started getting Android phones. Printing was unheard of. It was such a chore. It was so specialized that it was more common that you would send it over to your computer and print it out. Now it's flipped, and it's one of the easiest things to do. But the ease of printing is really based on the kind of printer you have. If you find that you're going to want to print a lot from a mobile device, and your printer isn't a latest printer like within the last 5 years, I would definitely replace the printer. It's just not worth the hassle of setting up an older printer to do this work. What I can say is that most printers now, you still have to look for it on the box. They support AirPrint, and they're immediately available to an iOS device like an iPad or an iPhone. All you have to do is go into the printing. If you go into share or you go into the three dots, the more menu, you'll typically find a print option. And if you're on the same network as the printer, that printer should appear, given a short period of time, as a list of printers that you can use to print. And you just select the printer and send it off to it. It's amazingly simple. Typically doesn't require any software on your device. If your printer doesn't support Apple printing, then many times it supports an app in the App Store that you can install print services to your iDevice. Becomes a bit more cumbersome to do, but it's still possible and it's still fairly easy. And then the most cumbersome to do is to share the printer from your Apple device. From your Apple computer. So you have a Macintosh computer in the corner, and you've shared that printer, and then you can use a print service that you install in your iDevice, your iPhone or your iPad, so your computer in the corner has to be on, whether it's a network printer or not. It has to be on, has to be sharing that print device, and then you pick it up on your iOS device. That is the least preferred way. It's the most cumbersome, and it's the most likely not to work when you need it to work. So my attitude is printers are very cheap. If you find you're always wanting to print from an iPad or an iPhone, I'd go out and buy a more recent printer. If your printer doesn't already just do it out of the box, go get one that does it out of the box. You can buy one for under $100. That will do it right out of the box, and you won't have to install anything. Does that help? Does that answer your question, Fred?
Yes, it
does. I will let you know next week when I figure out with.
All right. Well, those are the three options for printing off of an iDevice, and I would start in that order. I would just assume that you can do it. When it can't do it, I would look for software in the App Store that will allow you to do it. And when that doesn't work, I would look at sharing the printer on the network from a computer. And then that software you downloaded in the second step should be able to find that printer on the network.
Okay.
And when that doesn't work reliably, go out and buy a new printer.
Okay.
It's so easy with a new printer. It's just it blows me away. Nowadays, I set up printers with a phone. I used the cable and go to your laptop and download the drivers and get and now the printer out of the box is ready to work on the phone and on the tablet, and I'm still wasting a half hour getting it to work on a PC or a laptop or a Macintosh or a Windows computer. You're having to install the software and get everything set up for the driver. Whereas before, you could never get it to work off your phone. It's just taken a complete 180. Hey, guys, I got to shut this down. I'm so glad you could join me. And we'll plan on next Saturday. Jim, Terry, you're always welcome to join us. Come back next Saturday, please. It's great having an audience.
Stay good seeing you guys.
Stay Take safe. Care. Take care.
Take care, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Adios and tech on. Well, hey, we're still streaming on YouTube. I'm here. I might do some funny. Here's a shot from the left. Here is a shot from up above. If you've enjoyed what you've seen today, well, we try and do it every Saturday at 9 o'clock Arizona time. We don't recognize daylight savings, so it's always 9 o'clock Arizona time. And my name is Scott Stimson. I am a freelance computer consultant with over 30 years of technical experience servicing a small community outside a large community in Mexico called San Carlos. And our members have some tie to San Carlos, but that's not necessary. You're welcome to join our meetings from anywhere on the internet. And if you find our meetings interesting, well, you can find previous meetings as well as topics that I find interesting, technology, tech news, tips and hints, on our website, sccclub.org. Also, if you're looking for computer help anywhere on the internet, I'd appreciate you getting a hold of me. I do a lot of remote support right from my desk, and you can get a hold of me, scott@internationalcs.net, or check out our website at internationalcs.net. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll be back next week. Until then, tech on, people.